Luke chapter 24, verse 27 through 35. This is the reading of God's word. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found together, gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask, like always, your presence with us, working in us, giving us an ear to hear your word, that we may truly hear and our faith will actually grow, so that we may live that life that glorifies your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us have fellowship with him as we hear your word, and let us see through your word what you have done and what you have accomplished in our Lord Jesus Christ for us. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we could see from Book of Luke, there were many disciples who were following Jesus Christ, not only 12, but at this time 11, because Judas is dead. But there were many other disciples who were following Jesus Christ. But the most of them did not understand the Old Testament correctly. They were waiting for the earthly Messiah, who, like Moses of the Old Testament, would accomplish the earthly salvation. They desired the Messiah to save them from the Roman Empire, just like Moses saved the Israelites from Egypt. They did not understand the true meaning of God's eternal salvation. What was their problem? Well, they understood the Old Testament only in terms of this world. They hoped that Jesus Christ will accomplish the earthly salvation and establish for them the kingdom of God on earth with the glory and wealth of the Solomonic kingdom of the Old Testament. But as we know, Jesus is now captured and killed. Thus, all their hopes vanished, and all are ruined and done as far as they're concerned. Thus, the way to Emmaus is a way of disappointments and despair. They were now afraid of this world, and they were even angry. They're afraid and angry and disappointed because they did not understand the truth. These disciples were confused, sad, and slow to believe. But the good news is that our gracious Lord Jesus Christ does not leave them in that state. He comes to them and he meets them and teaches them the scriptures. He opens their eyes. He explains the word of God. He makes their hearts burning within them. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. He witnesses to them that all those who are in Christ will triumph over death. And all of God's promises will be fulfilled, just like how he promised. And we got to verse 27 last time. Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. It says he explained to them that all the scriptures are about the things concerning himself. He teaches them that all the scriptures must be explained in terms of himself. Every part of it. Nothing should be left out. All the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And if you understand the Old Testament in terms of this world, then you will conclude that in it, God is promising the earthly salvation and earthly blessings. And I could read you many verses that would explain this point, but let me read you just a few. Ezekiel 16, verse 55, your sisters, Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters, will return to their former state, and you with your daughters will also return to your former state. Or Jeremiah 23, verse 8, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led back the descendants of the household of Israel from the north land and from all the countries where I had driven them, then they will live on their own soil. Jeremiah 24, verse 6, for I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them, and I will plant them and not pluck them out, or pluck them up. So if you just read this literally, and only in terms of this world, then of course he is promising earthly salvation. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, tells us that all those stories, all those promises is concerning himself. It's about him and what he will do and what he will accomplish. Because the true salvation of God that our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing is saving his people from this world and delivering them into heaven. Not saving from one place of this world and moving them to another place of this world. That is not true salvation of God. But that's how they read it. When they read book of Exodus, God saves them out of Egypt and he delivers them into another place in this world, the promised land. So how else they're going to understand if there's no work of the Holy Spirit in them? It is the salvation in which we will live with God in heaven forever and ever, but that's not how they saw it. So we saw up to verse 27 last time. So let's continue. Verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. They were going towards the city called Emmaus, and they're now near Emmaus. And Jesus acted as though he was going farther. Now, this is not to deceive the disciples. But God wants them to truly desire to fellowship with Him on their own. Because God could force you, but that doesn't mean anything if you're forced to love Him. Luke chapter 24, verse 29, but they urged Him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So He went in to stay with them. And when we read these two verses, we are reminded of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. You already know that this is not about making a decision to be saved. Because Revelation 3, where this verse comes up, it was part of a letter that God sends to the church. It wasn't His message toward non-believers, but it was in the letter that was sent to the churches. So, obviously, they're already Christians. And He says, I'm knocking on the door. It is talking about fellowshipping with Christ after the salvation. Do you hear Him knocking at your door of your hearts? Every single moment He is knocking. Do you open and have fellowship with Him? We have another picture in the Old Testament. This lover is knocking. And he's knocking all night long, and his hair is wet with dew because someone inside is not opening. Is this how you treat your Lord every single day? Do you have fellowship with Him? Because He is knocking. But because this is after salvation, it's not God forcing you to open the door. We must open the door. But understanding we must open the door, but act of that opening the door is still grace of God. God wants you to have fellowship with Him, but He will not force you. They urged Him, it says. The word that is translated as urged. There is one more place in the Bible where we find this. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. That word, prevailed, it is the same word. In both places, that word shows that the believers, the people who believe the gospel, they always want to have fellowship with the preachers of the gospel. Why? Because they want to hear the gospel again and again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Here, the pure milk is the word. And the content of that word is Jesus Christ. See, when you have baby, they get hungry and they cry out so loud. You know, babies don't cry like all the time, but when they're hungry, oh, they will cry. And Bible says, just like that newborn baby, Christians, they're hungry for the Word of God. Is this how you are? Seeking the true milk. Because you know the content of that word is about Jesus Christ. You want Jesus Christ. Psalm 119 verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Ultimately, they all want Jesus Christ more and more. And these Christians want to participate in the work of the spreading the gospel. John, 3 John verse 8, therefore we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. And verse 30, let's move on. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. We see something unusual happening here. We are so sure that the owner of that house which they're in, the owner is one of those two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. We know that for sure, right? And yet, what do we see here? We see Jesus Christ acting as if he is the owner. He took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. But when you hear all that Jesus has done, you are very familiar with that whole sentence. Because we saw Jesus doing the same thing before. In fact, in two different places in the book of Luke. First, at the event of the feeding of the 5,000, Luke chapter 9, verse 16. Then he took the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And not quite long ago, we saw the institution of the Last Supper. Jesus said there, Luke chapter 22, verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we have concluded when we studied the event of the feeding of 5,000, that event pointed to the Lord's Supper. That was many years ago, but we did that. The teachings for the two events were the same. Of course, we are not saying in our verse 30, our Lord is administrating the Lord's Supper. We're not saying that because there is no mention of the cup in our first. But just like the story of the feeding of the 5,000 teaches the same thing as the Lord's Supper, we are not wrong to say our passage also teaches the same message as the Lord's Supper. And in the book of Acts, the phrase, the breaking of the bread, points to both the regular suppers and the Lord's Supper. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, meaning the Lord's Day, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. So here, the breaking of bread on the Lord's Day can be interpreted as the Lord's Supper. And the Bible sometimes describes the life of heaven as the eternal banquet, meaning it is eating and drinking with our Lord forever, but eating and drinking points to a fellowship that we have with God. The resurrected life is the life of fellowshipping with God, Jesus Christ. The teaching here is this: we will recognize our Lord Jesus Christ as we break the bread with Him. That's exactly what happened to these two disciples. While they were breaking the bread with Jesus Christ, they recognized Jesus. And when do we break bread with our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it is during the Lord's Supper. That's exactly what you're doing, breaking the bread with Him. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. As they break the bread with Jesus, their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus, but as soon as they see Jesus, He vanishes. As we have seen last time, our fellowship with Christ is now not a visible fellowship. Thus, God provides the two ways to see Christ, the two ways to recognize Jesus Christ, and two ways to understand Him and what He has done. First, here, the breaking the bread with Christ. And second, we already saw this, Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning with us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the scriptures to us? It is when Jesus explains the scriptures to us. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 and 3 uses the phrases explaining the scriptures and reasoning from the scriptures. So we recognize Jesus when the Word of God is explained to us, as the scriptures are explained to us. Acts chapter 16, verse 14b, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So do you see it here? Two ways. First, breaking the bread. Second, when the Word of God is explained. That's when we recognize Jesus Christ. But you are so familiar with these two things. They are means of grace: the sacrament and the Word. Through them, your eyes and your hearts will be opened to see Jesus Christ and recognize Him, and also understand and believe what He has done and what He has accomplished. Look at what is happening to these disciples. Because their understanding of the scriptures were so wrong, they didn't understand what Jesus Christ was all about, what He has done, what He has accomplished. But our gracious Lord, He does not leave them alone in that state, but He comes. And through these two things, the Word being explained to them, being taught to them, and when they break the bread with the Lord, the means of grace. Exactly what is happening to you even now. God's Word is explained to you, and the Holy Spirit is working in you so that you may understand the Word. And we have Lord's Supper. That's actually actually breaking the bread with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we recognize Christ more and more. This is why the ministry of the church is so important. And worship is the most important thing. Because when does the means of grace most effectively used by God? It's during worship. The word, the sacrament, and prayer. You neglecting worship, this is so dangerous. And I'm not just saying, you know, because you don't come, you're neglecting. Even if you're here, sitting right there, you might be neglecting. Because your heart is never in this. But see, understand what God is doing so that you may grow. And it's not some magic, you know, somehow we cannot even explain what's happening and you go, ooh, and you become more mature in Christ, you know, in word or knowledge. No, God clearly shows us what He does so that we may grow. The word and the sacrament. So, Lord's Supper and God's Word, through them your eyes and hearts will open and see Jesus Christ. And as we understand and believe, our hearts burn within us. And the preachers of the gospel. And this reminded me, you know, how I felt long ago when I wanted to be a pastor. For us who are preaching and teaching the gospel, our hearts burn when we do not preach the gospel. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. For each time I speak, I cry out aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name. You know, his life was so hard because he was preaching the gospel. And everybody hated him and just life was miserable. So he says, if I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name. Then my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. Preaching God's word brings much sufferings and persecutions. But if I decided to stop preaching the gospel, it says in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I just cannot endure it. And this is not just preachers and teachers. This is all of Christians. How can you hold in the gospel, the good news in you and not say that to other people? There's your family who do not know the gospel. There's your friends, your relatives. How can you hold it in and not say it? It's like keeping a fire burning and that fire shutting you know, it's just in your bones. You just cannot endure it. This is how it is. That's why when you read the Bible, everybody who understands the gospel, as soon as they hear it and understand it, they go out and they spread the good news. They just cannot hold it in. And I'm not saying just go to, supermarket and bother people, you know, holding them and just, you know, you must hear me out and all that. No. There's a right time to do this kind of stuff. And you pray. As soon as you get up in the morning, you pray. God, give me that opportunity. Let me meet somebody who's willing to hear it, who wants to hear it. Give me that opportunity. And God will provide. Not every day, but He will provide that opportunity. Paul says the same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And this is what we see from these two disciples. As soon as everything becomes clear, next verse, Luke 24, verse 33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. These two disciples, they got up that very hour. Did they not say to Jesus, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over? Those same guys got up right away. Then they go back to Jerusalem. The resurrected life is not just going back to how it was. No, you cannot go back to how it was. Once you get out of Egypt, you cannot go back to Egypt. We cannot live just like how we used to live before the salvation. We cannot do that. We must tell of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like what we read, if we just hold it in, then in our hearts, it becomes like a burning fire. Shut up in our bones. So they go to Jerusalem to tell the others of the resurrection of their Lord. When they get there, they see the 11 and those who were with them already gathered together. And they already know that Jesus has been resurrected. And they already know that Jesus has appeared to Simon already. And these two told them their experiences on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Do you see it? The disciples of Jesus Christ, as soon as they know and believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their lives change. No more confusion, no more disappointments, no more sadness, doubts, slow to believe, no more not recognizing Christ. They are now filled with joy, hope, and boldness. And when we read the book of Acts, we see these disciples preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with joy, even when they are faced with death. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ gives the same grace to us. He gives us the same means of grace, the Word of God and the Lord's Supper. He opens our hearts to eagerly listen to the gospel. He makes our hearts burn within us when we hear the gospel explained to us. He opens our minds to understand the scriptures. He makes us believe. And as we break the bread with him during the Lord's Supper, he makes us recognize him. He opens our eyes. He explains the word of God and he makes us recognize Christ. This is what our lives are all about. This is what your life is all about. God being with you and making you more like Jesus Christ, using the means of grace that he has provided. Our Lord Jesus Christ has turned the curse into blessing. There is no more curse for us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then what happened? The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. See, Adam and Eve, as they sinned, their eyes were opened to sin, to become truly blind. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the last Adam, he opened our eyes so that we could be his sons who now see and recognize him. We recognize God. Brothers and sisters who recognize our Lord Jesus Christ, every time we hear God's word explained and taught by the Holy Spirit, don't our hearts burn within us? Every time when we participate in the Lord's Supper, every time when we break the bread with our Lord Jesus Christ, don't our eyes open more and more to see and recognize our Lord Jesus Christ more clearly? This is our reality of salvation that has been already accomplished for us. We said this last time also. You and I, we are on the road to Emmaus so many times in our lives. The road full of disappointments, despair, and fear. And many times we are even angry. But through the Word of God and the Lord's Supper, the means of grace, we see and recognize Jesus Christ, who is with us always. So every time you find yourself in the road unto Emmaus, open your eyes of faith, because you're not alone. Jesus is already with you. And he's not just doing nothing when he's with you. He's working, using the means of grace. He wants to have fellowship with you. Break the bread together, and you will recognize him. As the word is being taught to you, explained to you, every Lord's Day, every Bible study, every meeting. Well, only meeting this church has Bible study. many, many Bible studies. And you could ask for one too. How am I going to say no to you when you say, I want to have Bible study? And think about it. When you ask me for a Bible study, how can I say no to that? Use all that. God uses all that to teach you so that you may see God more clearly. So on that road, even though you might be scared or disappointed or even angry, but as soon as you recognize Christ and you see what He's doing to you, you know that everything is okay. Seriously, brothers and sisters, everything is okay. See how God has changed the road to Emmaus into the road to heaven. Now it is the way of joy and hope. It is the way of fellowshipping with Christ. And we too, just like the disciples, we got up to tell of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we do this with joy unspeakable. And brothers and sisters, we've been through the book of Luke, and I only have like 5-6 more times left. You see clearly what Christ has done for you. Ever since He came as a man, being born as a baby in that humble state, it is clearly written for you what He has done and accomplished for you. And not only what He has done, but what He is doing even now for you. This is how you must live, understanding what is really going on in your life. What God is doing. That's the key. See, I know when you open your eyes, you will see what other people are doing. Wherever you go, you will see people doing whatever. But do you see what God is doing in you and right next to you? If you don't, that is your problem. How do you then seek Christ? According to our passage, the Word of God has to be explained to you, taught to you, and you have to break the bread with Christ. This is the only way. And God will not deny that if you desire it. So you will see Jesus Christ more clearly. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh, there are so many things to thank for. Our whole existence is the things that we should be thankful put all together. We thank You. And through the means of grace that You have provided for us, as the Holy Spirit works through them, let us see Jesus Christ more clearly. Let us understand and believe what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. Let us enjoy all the benefits that He has accomplished for us, and let us enjoy You, our God, who is always with us. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.